Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I took her out. It was a Friday night. I woke alone to get the feeling right. We started making out and she took off my pants. But then I turned on the TV, and that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And I saw more of you.
Under New York State law, it is a felony to falsify this.
He has said.
Right. I want to play something that Alvin Bragg.
Under New York State law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about. 34 false statements made to cover up other crimes. These are felony crimes in New York State, no matter who you are. We cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? I mean, we will not, says Alvin Bragg, but that's a question for the courts that will be decided well after the election. Right? Like, this, the whole thing is super weird, right? You've got allegations that are 7 years old based on essentially misleading the records book about checks written to Michael Cohen in order to, what, the book's called legal fees, and what everybody else recognizes was a cover-up scheme in order to pay money to Stormy Daniels to, make sure that she didn't talk about the alleged affair between her and President Trump, right? That's what this is all about. And you say, how could there be 34 counts? That sounds like one count. Well, every record, like every time it's in the book or every time there was a check, I guess there were various we're still mystified. I was watching, I like to listen to the people who don't agree with me because they're most likely to say the things that, I'm not going to hear from my friends. That's kind of my view. I like to talk to people who disagree with me because they're going to be eager to point out the weaknesses in my arguments if there are any. And if you know when talking to them that your argument's not weak, then your argument's strong. If you talk to your friends and it sounds like you got a good point, it doesn't really mean much, right? It's like training with a boxing sparring partner that's supposed to let you hit him. That's kind of how friends can be sometimes. Well, train with somebody who's coming for your title. Okay, then you learn some stuff about how good your skill is. Anyway, so I like to listen and read people who disagree with me. So I'm watching CNN last night, and they got a legal analyst on there, and he's like, no. No. And he's like, and I like Bragg. I admire him. I respect him. I worked with him. No, this doesn't make any sense. And that's the problem, right? So basically, how do you get one act that on its own would be a misdemeanor? Well, because it's in connection with the federal elections, because it's a campaign. Yeah, okay. But that's not a New York State law. Well, it'd be in connection with the New York State campaign. Well, but the Federal Election Commission's the one that, right? It's kind of like there's no part of this that makes any sense. Unless you just view it as purely political, which I do, which I think everybody else does. And I think, again, I was watching CNN, some of the run-up to this yesterday, and basically they were saying, well, look, if you throw this stone, this pebble, and it's like the first of many to come, because there are other cases pending against Trump related to the Georgia election, the call there, and some other stuff. And he says, if other stuff follows, maybe it has some value. But if this is all it is, people are going to be like, what are you doing with the justice system? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And the weaker the case, the more you invite a backlash against the decision to go ahead with it after two other people have passed on the case, and it was 7 years ago. All right, so that's kind of the backdrop to all of this. And, then you had, of course, Trump speaks last night at Mar-a-Lago, and CNN carried it for about 15 minutes. It turned out to be about a half hour, which I was glad for. It wasn't an hour, because I have watched so many Trump speeches. And can I just tell you, this is a total side note to all of this, but it's worth you understanding where I am on Trump, okay, just so you understand you know, my position, my biases, whatever you want to call them. Trump's persona drives me up the wall. I hate his persona. Okay, I hate the demeanor, the disposition, the personal attacks, the Twitter, or Truth Social, all of the like circus around him drives me crazy. Really, genuinely hate it, right? But he was an incredibly effective president. He got Roe versus Wade overturned. That didn't happen while he was in office, but it was because of things he did. And Mitch McConnell, you got to give credit where credit is due, okay? So the Supreme Court and the rulings that are coming out of it that I think are finally putting the country back on the right track, you have to give credit for that to President Trump. And dealing with China and dealing with NATO. And, I mean, if you look at the things he did in office, an incredible legacy of success, and particularly sweeping changes to the judicial system, the judiciary and appointments that are going to have effects for decades. Incredible success in that regard. Okay? You cannot deny it. Okay? But then there's that persona. You know? And some people love the persona. The Trump cult folks love the persona. I can't stand the persona. It's exactly the opposite of everything that I believe in. So I'm always torn on this, like, oh, you know, it's these two things, right? An incredibly effective president on the policy and changes and reform and negotiation side matched up with this buffoon in public, okay? So, you know, Andrew, would you vote for him again? Over whom? You know, over whom? Over Biden? In a heartbeat. Over DeSantis? No. At least not at this point, right? But, you know, we're a long way off from having to make those decisions. So, anyway, back, sometimes I don't talk exactly about where I am on Trump, and I figured it was fair to at least tell you that's kind of how, you know, how I view him as a former president. So, you know, back to the Mar-a-Lago speech last night. It was what I would describe as what he I think best could have done last night for his purposes, okay, would be to be calm, rational, cool, even-handed in a way that if he's going to give a speech, if he can talk for 10 or 15 minutes and basically not mumble his words or botch his lines and look reasonably articulate and logical, I thought the point of the speech last night was as a campaign contrast to President Biden. That's what I thought the speech was intended to accomplish. Because he knows he's going to for the first time in ever since he was president, that anybody's going to give him live, unedited, raw airtime. Right? He's going to go on TV and CNN's going to carry it. Not the whole thing, but they did carry 15 minutes of it. That's a lot. So if you're strategizing, you know, and you're trying to like figure out, well, how can we use that 10 or 15 minutes effectively? You know what I can do? I can show people who I am or who I'm capable of being. And in their mind, they're going to compare me to the current president and be like, oh man, what have we done? Like that's, I think as a campaign, because remember all the earned media, the billions of dollars that he got in free coverage during the run-up to the 2016 election, that same concept, right? How can we use this event to our political advantage? I'm going to go on TV and I'm going to look like a great alternative to the current president. And he 100% did that. Now, in the course of talking, you know, he said all kinds of wild things, but he said them in a way, because you can say the outrageous thing in an outrageous way. He's capable of that. You can say the ordinary thing in an outrageous way. He's capable of that. You can say the outrageous thing in an ordinary way. He's capable of that. And you can say ordinary things in ordinary ways. Sometimes he's capable. That's of the four, that's not his favorite speed, right? Any of the other three is his favorite speed. But yeah, he did exactly what he's supposed to do. He went up there last night and he just basically was Trump, but as a contrast to Biden. At least that's how I interpreted it.
I never thought anything like this could happen in America. Never thought it could happen. The only crime that I have committed is to fearlessly defend our nation from those who seek to destroy it.
and assessing the case itself, which, by the way, it was an airing of grievances, right? He went through not just this case, but all of the stuff, the impeachment and the just it was all of it. It was there was nothing particularly novel in the speech, except it was a this is ridiculous.
As it turns out, virtually everybody that has looked at this case, including rhinos and even hardcore Democrats, say there is no crime and that it should never have been brought. Never have been brought. Everybody.
And finally, they've indicted me. They finally got their wish. You know, that was kind of the theme of the speech.
Now they have really stepped up their efforts by indicting the 45th president of the United States who received...
And he goes on to talk about receiving all the votes more than anybody else. But, you know, obviously took some time to attack Bragg.
The criminal is the district attorney because he illegally leaked massive amounts of grand jury information. For which he should be prosecuted. Or at a minimum, he should resign.
And, yeah, which makes sense. If somebody attacks him, you know he's going to 100% attack back. And if there was any sort of, I don't know, substantial stuff in this. I mean, you're watching the speech in order to hear him, but in order to, you know, see his perspective on all these events and how he is a victim in all of these attacks and criticisms and how they were wrong and he was right, or they are wrong and he is right, and everything makes sense from his point of view. I mean, and, you know, as I said, he did a very good job of presenting that. I think the most compelling way you could possibly present it. And if you really think about what this speech was trying to do, in my opinion, this was a campaign speech designed to draw the contrast between him and the current president, which he did pretty effectively in several parts.
The open threats by various countries of the use of nuclear weapons, something never mentioned or discussed by outside nations during the Trump administration, in which could very well lead under the Biden administration's leadership to an all-out nuclear World War III. Can happen. We're not very far away from it, believe it or not.
And would that have happened with him? You know, for all the, it's funny because for all of the bluster and the, oh my God, Trump's going to get us into a war, which he didn't, or Trump's going to cause nuclear, which he didn't, which in fact, I would argue that he kept us from a lot of those possibilities. And then you get Biden in there, who people, you know, supposed to be the statesman, the diplomat, the guy who's got all of the foreign policy chops. And lo and behold, you know, Russia starts a war in Ukraine, puts us much closer to any kind of a real international global conflict or a nuclear conflict of any kind. You know, China waiting in the wings. You know, does China want Trump back in office? Of course they don't. I mean, of course not. They would far rather deal with Biden, who's, again, kind of the sounds. But sounds generally like he's capable and knowledgeable, okay, about international affairs. But then when you actually watch the pudding, you know, it's the proof is not there. So anyway, so like I said, this was all a circus yesterday. The DA giving the case, which he still hasn't even fully explained the case. Nobody can make any sense of the case except it's just pure politics, which is really terrible for the rule of law. And then Trump gives a what I thought was, again, a very effective political speech. If the point of the speech was to show people, look what you could get instead of what we currently got. Look what you could have had instead of what we currently got. That's it. 523 on News Radio 92.3. Text me your perspective, 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Get ready for an unbelievable Easter weekend with Marcus Point Baptist Church. Join with thousands for a Pensacola tradition at the Blue Wahoo Stadium, the community sunrise service. The worship begins at 6:15 a.m. as the sun rises over the Pensacola waterfront. The celebration continues at 6205 North W Street at 10 a.m. with Easter at Marcus Point, filled with powerful music and great events for the whole family. Easter will be unbelievable with Marcus Point.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Dell Technologies semi-annual sale starts now with limited quantity deals on select performance PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Save on select essential accessories plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
Help me, Lord Jesus, help me. I'm falling out of steps, oh Lord, please. My shoe. I'm halfway down now. Help me, Lord.
Song from Flock of Seagulls. 526 on News Radio 92.3. First you run, then you fall in love. That's the way that works. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good morning. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the black boxes have been recovered from that deadly helicopter crash that happened in Kentucky last month. Two Army Black Hawk helicopters crashed during a night training mission near Fort Campbell. That happened March 29th. 9 people died. An aviation safety team says that flight data and cockpit voice recorders have now been recovered and sent to Fort Rucker to be analyzed. Volkswagen has recalled 143,000 Atlas SUVs. Apparently, they have an airbag issue. Volkswagen says that the wiring and the passenger detection system may be faulty, causing the airbag not to deploy. It's affecting 2018 through 2021 Atlas and 2020 Atlas Cross Sports. And there was a shooting at a Virginia shopping mall recently that happened. Apparently, a young man was recording prank videos for his YouTube channel. The 21-year-old was shot in the stomach this last Sunday morning. It happened at the Dulles Town Center. He's still in the hospital. That suspect due back in court next month.
And wait, what was the shooting? Like, so apparently, he was conducting prank videos.
Apparently, whatever he did offended someone in this mall, and the guy shot him in the stomach. And the kid was in, he was 21, but he was shot in the stomach. He was in critical condition, last I read.
By the way, the official word on that is that anybody who's more than 5 or 8 years younger than you is a kid, depending on your age.
Yeah. Ah, there we go.
Kid.
So when you get to be, like I'm 52, when you get to be my age, 42-year-old, it's a kid. I mean, that's the way that works, just for official future reference, okay? So thanks for the news, kid.
Kid.
Thank you. Good morning.
I mean, you're welcome, Andrew.
528 on News Radio 92.3. So he said, love the Flock of Seagulls bumper music. You're welcome. Always try to give you a little bit of, it's funny. When I was growing up, I listened to all kinds of music, right? As a kid. And, all kinds of music. Everything but country. That's the way that works. Although there's still some country I like, but it's secret.
Same.
Kenny, obviously, Garth, stuff like that. I mean, not real country by most people's standards. Johnny Cash, whatever. Back to the point. And I never really had a dream of being like a DJ, on the music side of radio. That was never my goal. But I love music so much that
you would have been great.
The reason I like to play, so much different music is because I want you to have fun getting to work, and sometimes that's talking about the news and the events and playing the movie clips and having fun and cutting up. But it's also like, hey, this is good music. Remember this good music? I think that's fun. So
it does. It lifts the spirits.
That's right. That's
even
right.
Even when we fight.
Anything that's going to make you smarter and happier. That's basically my goal for the show. That should be our tag, News Radio 92.3, smarter and happier.
I always think happier like when I hear the news.
I know, right? Yeah, the way we talk about, death and mayhem and war. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody says MSNBC didn't carry any of it. Yeah, I'd heard that. MSNBC made the decision not to carry, which I think the networks probably were feeling like, well, we have carried all of the run-up to this, and it's a historic event, And even though we couldn't, of course, carry the courtroom stuff because we weren't allowed to, we still carried, you know, that's all that was on the shows all day yesterday was surrounding all of this. And so if we're going to be fair, we have to give the accused his chance to talk. And so we have to carry this speech. And I figure, like, they hated themselves every second of it. Like, but that's true. If you're going to be a news source, which is why MSNBC disqualified themselves, you have to carry Trump. You at least for some of it, you have to carry it. David Wayne will have our local news coming up next, right after Fox. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Former President Trump pleads not guilty in a courtroom in Lower Manhattan to 34 felony counts of falsifying business records.
Virtually everybody that has looked at this case, including rhinos and even hardcore Democrats, say there is no crime.
Trump addressing his supporters at his Palm Beach estate. It stems from hush money payments to women he had alleged affairs with. But the timing of future court appearances in question, Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez.
Very un-American. Very dangerous. They're obviously interfering in the election.
And the Republican earlier on Fox and Friends First. Wild weather. Fox weather confirming Bollinger County, Missouri, a tornado.
Just off to the west of Cape Girardeau here in Bollinger County. That's where we did see this confirmation where we do have multiple homes being damaged.
It's taking place a short time ago. Fox weather's Jane Menor. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. It's 73 degrees, mostly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. The Florida Highway Patrol looking for a vehicle that they say hit an Escambia County school bus and ran yesterday. There were 29 kids on the bus when this accident happened on Cody Lane yesterday afternoon. Troopers say a sedan did not slow down. The bus had stopped to let kids off. The sedan rear-ended the bus, then took off. The bus sustained only minor damage. Good news is, though, nobody was hurt in this crash. But if you have information on the vehicle or the driver involved, contact the Florida Highway Patrol. A mobile home on Lillian Highway caught on fire last night. Now, this happened on the 8100 block of Lillian just after about 9 o'clock last night. Right now, no word on whether anybody was hurt or the extent of the damage to the trailer. The state fire marshal investigating what caused the fire. Three packages of cocaine that authorities say were worth more than $100,000 washed ashore in Walton County this week. Deputies say the first brick of cocaine washed up near Scenic Golf Drive in Miramar Beach. A beachgoer found that package, notified a lifeguard who retrieved it and called police. Second package then found at Gulfview Heights Beach just later that night, and a third found at Grayton Beach State Park the next morning. Police say it's not uncommon for those types of things to wash up and be found, but they do say if you come across anything like that on any area beaches, don't touch it, but call and notify police immediately. Well, former President Donald Trump apparently now getting a big boost in the polls after his arraignment yesterday. Pollster John Zogby says Trump's lead over Governor DeSantis is up 30% since news of the criminal charges broke.
He thrives on being a victim, and the more he's made a victim or perceived to be made a victim, the higher his support goes.
New Yahoo News poll finds that the former president now leads Governor DeSantis with 57% of the vote compared to 31%. And Trump's 2024 campaign says they've raised over $7 million since last Thursday when he became the first former president in history to be indicted. It is 533 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 First Warning Weather.
It's going to be a warm and humid day today. Temperatures warming up near 81 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Still staying warm as we go into Thursday with a 10% chance of rain. 82 degrees for your high. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Cloudy skies, 73 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, and a few degrees cooler at 71 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck, because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4, so you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory to our truck to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11, before Dave Ramsey, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Motorcycle and naturally slow down to take a longer look. It was so much more funny writing it than hearing it read back to me.
The background on this, if you didn't catch it when we played it right after the Pace Awards last week, is this is Chip Simmons, Sheriff Simmons, receiving his award for Community Servant of the Year and talking about a letter he had written back in the day to request transfer, or, you know, to be on the motor pool, to be on the motorcycles. And the first part of the letter was, you know, because I would look so good driving a motorcycle. And he gave it to his sergeant, and his sergeant didn't show up that day, so the letter wound up going to somebody else that he did not anticipate. And then it goes to, like, his captain, and, and in the letter, the second part was, the other reason I should drive a motorcycle is because it would help slow down the pace of traffic, because people would see me and want to slow down and take a longer look. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Mornings. We talked to Sheriff Simmons yesterday, sir. Welcome back, sir.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
That was so entertaining.
Pace award-winning, Chip
exactly
Simmons.
Right. So was that the problem when you were heading here this morning on I-10, is that people were slowed down to stop to look at you while you were driving through the heavy traffic? Was that
people were slowed down, but it wasn't because of me.
just want to check and make sure. No. Welcome back, sir. Welcome back.
I do think that we make sure everyone understands. I was a rookie policeman trying to make a joke on my sergeant and put that letter in, and then he was off the next day.
And the letter missed him.
All the way up to the right people, and it was clearly a joke.
It was definitely a joke, very entertaining, certainly a fun moment, you know, nobody wanted to follow you at the Pace Awards. That's because you won the show. All right, on to more serious things. We do have tonight, we've got the meeting, the third one for the roundtable?
The roundtable, yeah.
All right, so tell people what to expect tonight at Brownsville.
Well, as I've been telling people before, the first roundtable was just to get the politicians, to light a fire under us all and say, hey, what can we do to address this issue? And then we had another one where we had a lot of citizen input and a lot of people talking about programs and that sort of thing. And so then we earmarked a specific geographical area. And in this case, it's around the Brownsville area. That's where we've been meeting. It's split between the city and the county. And so we're going to use that area. And tonight we're going to discuss what we can all do. You know, at the sheriff's office, we're going to do some warrant sweeps and some more patrols.
What is that, a warrant sweep, when people don't know?
Well, there are people that we have information that maybe they already have warrants on them that are wanted. And we're going to concentrate on seeing which ones of those are in that immediate area. We're constantly looking for people to arrest, but some of the ones that we can't get right away, may fall to the back burner, and they get on what we call the wheel. So if someone stops them, then obviously they'll go to jail. But that's the law enforcement part of things. You know, we don't want to, we're not going to go in there and just stop everyone. But what we are going to do is if someone has a warrant. Then we're going to go by their house and pick them up. The thought there is to get the people that are committing the crimes out of that area. And then we talk to the Florida Power and Light, talking about lighting. We're talking to the school district about bus stop safety, all that sort of thing. And that's
trash pickup.
Yeah, picking up trash and just making the place look a little better so that hopefully it's the broken window thing. If things are cleaned up, you want to keep it cleaned up. And the hope here is that we will have some sort of a template to go by and to take it from this area to other areas and say, okay, now that we know what we can all do, let's try to take it from to somewhere else.
I know most people know this, mm-hmm. but the broken window theory came out of New York, where the idea was if you have a neighborhood with a lot of broken windows, nobody thinks anything about minor crime because that's the kind of neighborhood where you commit these crimes. On the other hand, if you force shop owners basically and warehouse owners to fix the windows, and then to, remedy the graffiti, and then you get the squeegee men off the streets, kind of stuff that was plaguing New York. The idea is you create an environment in which it's not a fit for people to commit petty and or more serious crimes, and they have less of those crimes. And so cleaning up the neighborhood, cleaning up the trash, getting rid of the difficult people, all lighting, all of that stuff contributes to a social environment within which crime is not normal, and that's the goal, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And I know some people love the theory and they think that everyone should do it. And
sure.
Some people think, oh, that's an antiquated type of theory.
Sure.
But there's some truth to the fact. If you have a piece of trash in your hand and you look around and there's no trash on the ground, you'll probably find a receptacle. But if there's trash everywhere, your one added piece of trash is not going to make that much of a difference. There's also a sense of pride in a community that is nicer. And it's this is our community. It's clean. And let's all get together and make sure that our area is not just clean, but also safe of crime.
And that really is what you're trying to accomplish is, anything you can do, anything you can do to make an area safer. And the theory is, well, let's do everything. And then maybe we won't know which piece was the key piece. But if we're doing everything and we get results, great.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, I talk a lot about the cause of homicides, and I talk about probably two-thirds of those are drug related.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's being ripped off from drugs, someone's stealing drugs, whatever is happening there with the drugs. And the other one-third is domestic. This year we've had more domestic than we typically have. Now, is this geographical area and these roundtables going to stop domestic violence homicides? I don't know. I think the stats will prove that what we're doing to pick up trash may not stop a domestic violence type of homicide. But what we are doing something. We are doing what we as a government, as a sheriff's office, as a police department, what we can do. And then again, like I said, we can take a look at this worked and that worked. Let's try this other things. Now, I have not lost sight of the fact that most of the people that come up and talk, they talk about programs. They talk about something for these young people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of what we're talking about is, religious community, do you have a program? Do you have something that can help in this regard? So we're going to continue to talk about those things, but we do want to have this area, and it's going to be for a defined period of time, about 2 months long. We're going to move one of our movie nights to the Brownsville area at the end of this thing, you know, just to show, hey, this, you know, hopefully a celebration and maybe you know, talk a little bit more about what can be done from that point on.
And in my mind, it's really, it's not the same as, but it's sort of a parallel concept to like a Big Brother's. Like, we're just going to, we of course had a couple of incidents last week. Want to talk a little bit about these. One was in I believe it was an attempted murder, a stabbing, maybe Friday or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, we arrested, well, actually,
or the farther
attempted
back?
Murder happened, we arrested him yesterday morning.
Oh, okay. All right.
On Sunday night. 43-year-old Patrick Henderson was arrested for stabbing a woman multiple times. And while he was stabbing her, according to her, he said that he was going to kill her. And again, he stabbed her multiple times. But our deputies, let me just say again how great a job that they've done. So all Sunday night, they were looking for this guy because he tried to kill this woman. And they finally was able to capture him early the next morning. There's a photograph of him on our social media Facebook page. So if you want to take a look at what attempted murderer looks like, take a look at that picture and also get a little glimpse of some of the deputies that did that good job I was referring to.
We also had in Bristol Park this robbery at gunpoint. Was this the one where they gave him a ride and then, yeah, okay, go ahead.
They were staying at a motel and someone said, hey, I'll give you a ride downtown. I think it's McGuire's. They weren't going
to
apply for a job. Instead of taking him to McGuire's, they took him to the Bristol Park area, and then three to four males, according to him, ended up robbing him. And we did end up arresting those. We arrested a guy named Carr and Culver, and both of them are in jail under $150,000 bond. So, again, it's just there's got to be something, you know, that would give you an idea. Hey, we're going the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Let's try to stop this thing as it is. I talk to people a lot and I say, well, don't go peacefully, you know, if you're gonna have, and I don't want to victim blame. I just want to say, you know, someone, one or two males say, hey, I'll take you to McGuire's, and it looks like it's a little shady. It probably is. Mm-hmm. Is kind of my point there.
You know, one of the things we've been talking a lot about today is the signing of the law yesterday by Governor DeSantis for a permitless concealed carry. And, you know, you and I talk a lot about concealed carry, about the law, about where you can and can't and the value and all of that. But starting July 1st, you know, permitless, which would mean people don't have to pay to get the ID. It's still only for people who would be eligible to get a permit, are the only ones who are able to. And you still cannot carry it in a whole bunch of places, including schools or, you know, courts or, you know, the meetings of the legislature, et cetera. But from your point of view, this would also mean people don't have to go through any training. They don't have to go through any legal training or, you know, gun competency or anything like that anymore. Not that the standards are high right now, but they wouldn't have to have any of that. Chip, your thoughts on having citizens with, you know, basically no barrier to entry now to concealed carry when they want to?
Well, I mean, I would support a law-abiding citizen's right to keep and bear arms. You know, I would like to have that freedom myself, and I would support that. But I also would recommend and highly encourage people to be familiar with the guns or the weapons that they choose to carry, not just the guns themselves, but how they carry them. Having been a law enforcement officer for a number of years, I know it sounds cool to pack the heat and do that sort of thing, but I can tell you that it's you need to make sure that it is secure. You can't just stick it in your waistband. You can't just stick it in your boot and expect for it to stay there. And I think what you said is very important. There are a lot of places that you still can't carry a concealed weapon, including businesses that say no concealed weapon. Now, how they know, I don't know that. But I do, however, support the fact that we should be able to carry if we so choose. It's our constitutional right, and I will support that. We have had probably four justifiable homicides in Escambia County last year, if I remember correctly. And those are because individuals were either carrying concealed or they had a weapon in their home for their own protection. I like the idea of a bad guy not knowing who has a weapon to protect themselves. And to me, that's a bit of a deterrent.
Would it be fair to say, and feel free to disagree with me, because that's why I ask you, you're the expert. In your opinion, are criminals who are going to use armed force to commit a felony, would they rather, does it matter to them, their perception that somebody might be armed or not?
I think it does. I think we talk a lot about different crimes and how to prevent different crimes. And I tell the groups that I talk to that put yourself in their mindset for a second. Who would be a vulnerable home to burglarize? One without lights and one with, you know, we talk a little bit about back whenever TVs were very popular. If you put a box for a brand new, you know, big screen TV out in the front yard, someone knows you have that television, you know, in your house. So I would think that a bad guy would think twice about going up against someone that can defend themselves. Now, again, I want to be, I want to really encourage that people to understand that, you know, that if you have a gun, someone can also take that gun from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you had to be very careful about that. But, you know, I know that during our conversation with some of these bad guys, they're not as prone to try to victimize someone that's not defenseless, and that makes me smile.
Yeah, no, I agreed. And I also very much appreciate the encouragement to people to carry safely because, you know, the difference between sticking it in your belt versus sticking it in a concealed carry holster in your belt, vast difference in both safety to you, safety to other people, and access to the gun under the wrong circumstances where you need to have access to it. So all very good notes. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for braving the traffic this morning and not distracting too many people as you were coming in this morning. I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again next week.
Y'all take care.
You know what I love about all of our people that we have on the show? They're all such good sports. I mean, they are. And, you know, I appreciate that. I do. Hey, if you've got a business and, of course, you got employees and then you got benefits and you got payroll, you got HR, you got all of the fun things that when you got into business, you're like, man, I want to get in there and figure out what health insurance benefits to give my people. Woohoo, I'm starting a company. Nobody does that, right? And if you do, I mean, great for you, wonderful, I'm happy for you, but you're weird, and that's fine, you know, there's a place for you in, you know, God's garden too, but still, in this particular situation, most people who own businesses don't like doing this stuff and dealing with it. That's why you call Torgerson and Causey. They're kind of weird. They like doing this stuff. You know, they got into business to do the thing that you don't like to do, and they're good at it. They've been working with us here at Cat Country News Radio for about 5 or 6 years. They're good at it. They saved me money. They gave us options we didn't have before and basically made everything easy for us. So if you want to find out if there's a better way to do this stuff to benefit your employees, to save a little bit of money, and just to kind of take it off your plate, that's what Torgerson Causey does. More than 20 years helping local businesses like yours. Give them a call today for a no-obligation review of your programs, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing, coming up this month, the Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's Cooking Class, Easter, and other fun things and promotions that you won't want to miss. That's all today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Change. Positive change is happening all around us. Greater Pensacola is growing, and that's why I joined the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join us. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Are you a business owner stressing about the high cost of healthcare plans or wondering how you can compete in today's labor market? ProHealth is here to help. ProHealth's medical membership program is just $45 per month per employee. That's just 28 cents an hour for full-time employees. This program covers unlimited primary care and teledoc visits with zero copay and many more benefits. No appointment is ever necessary at ProHealth. Beat the high cost of healthcare with ProHealth's medical membership. Not convinced? Think about how much a sick employee is going to cost you.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And did I cry?
No, no.
No, no. And you know why?
No.
Because there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. No crying.
Good morning. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola morning. He's got a text in here that says, hey, can you please review the details of the concealed carry law? Age limitations, location limitations. The age is real easy. You got to be 21. You have to be 21. The basic rule is you can only, and this is July 1st again. I saw some headlines the other day that people are saying, it's now legal to carry. No, not until July 1st. Can you carry concealed without any kind of a permit? Location limitations. You know what? I don't have it right in front of me. I had it yesterday. Let me pull that up while David Wayne is doing the news, and I'll give you the specifics on the where you can and can't, because there's a whole list. I don't want to leave one out just because I don't remember it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The new Forbes list of the world's richest people is out, and Elon Musk this year comes in at number 2. The annual rankings came out Tuesday. It showed moving into number 1, French fashion mogul Bernard Arnault. He's worth $211 billion. Musk came in at second place again this year. He's now worth $180 billion.
Wait, so you can build SpaceX and Tesla and the Boring Company and own Twitter and be second to a guy who makes...
Right.
Isn't that crazy? Makes clothes?
Isn't that crazy?
Anything's possible. Go on, sorry.
American Airlines is trying to resolve some of their labor disputes with pilots and flight attendants for the summer travel season. They're offering their pilots a substantial pay raise. CEO Robert Isom says a new proposed contract calls for an $8 billion increase in pay over the next 4 years. Spokesperson, though, says flight attendants haven't had a raise in more than 4 years. And apparently there's a new Harry Potter TV series in the works.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers talking with J.K. Rowling about producing this. Apparently it's going to be for HBO, probably HBO Max, one of those online deals. Reports say the idea for the series is to have each season focus on one book and do a total of 7 seasons.
So they're going to do the books in a TV series instead of as a movie?
Right.
What?
Yeah. Doesn't make much sense to me either. But yeah.
Okay. Good luck.
Did you like Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah. My kids have watched Harry Potter. I mean, Sage has probably seen them all like 10 times each. Okay. So, you know.
People just, that like it really like it.
He used
it,
to watch it over and over and over, you know, and so it's fine.
I will say HBO has done pretty good on some of their series, like when they did The Last of Us. I mean, that turned out really good.
Gosh, so. That was so good.
No, yeah, I agree. And some of the off, like, network TV... whether it's on cable networks or whether it's on like Showtime, HBO, you know, the TV, not the movies, are unbelievable. I mean, they are really, really, really high quality. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, to answer the question that somebody had asked about concealed carry. Okay, these are all the places where you cannot concealed carry, which, by the way, for those of you who have a permit, this is a good refresher. Any place of nuisance. Which is, you know, it's kind of funny. Things like it actually specifies. I'm going to read this to you because you'll laugh. Any place of nuisance as defined in FS 82305. Oh, no, it's not in there. Anyway, this was the explainer. This wasn't actually in the bill, but it's in the Florida statutes. But it's things that endanger the health of the community or annoy the community, like prostitution dens, gambling halls, you know, massage parlors, and anywhere where gang activity, that kind of stuff. So yeah, if you're going there already, you don't care about the rules, right? But here's the actual ones. And in addition to that. Police, sheriff, or highway patrol station, any detention facility, prison, or jail, any courthouse, any courtroom, except if you're a judge or someone that the judge designates. Judges can carry, and trust me, they all do. Any polling place, and they should, frankly, judges should carry. Any meeting of the governing body of a county, public school district, municipality, or special district, any meeting of the legislature or a committee thereof, any school, college, or professional athletic event unrelated to firearms, which I always thought was a weird carve-out, but there it is. If you have a football game about guns, it's okay to, you know, but most football games you cannot go to. School, college, or professional, keep that in mind. Any elementary or secondary facility, school facility, or administration building, any career center, anywhere in the establishment, and in an establishment primarily devoted to dispensing alcoholic beverages for consumption on the premises. So, liquor store, yes, bar, no. If it's a takeaway, yes, fine. Which, by the way, restaurants, yes, bars, no. Kind of reminds you of the COVID rules. Any college or university facility, unless the licensee is a registered student, employee, or faculty member there, and the weapon is a stun gun or non-lethal electric weapon or device designed solely for defensive purposes and doesn't fire a dart or projectile. So no guns on campus, but a taser doesn't fire a dart or projectile. That fires a projectile that's attached to the... I would say that a contact stun gun would be okay. I would not be safe. I have to ask, you don't have to ask some of my cops about this because I don't know the answer to that. Inside of the passenger terminal sterile area of any airport unless it's encased for shipment to be checked as baggage. So you can't take it into the airport at all. And any place where the carrying of firearms is also prohibited by federal law. So that would be like on the military bases. There you go. That's your comprehensive list. Don't take a gun to any of those places. That's the key. Well, even on July 1st, you still won't be able to do that. Listen on it.